Jason, it's playoff week. We'll talk about it coming up on Hellas Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, as you and I sit here on a Tuesday afternoon, the Bears have just trotted out Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and Cole Kmet and Kevin Byard and even Montez Sweat. To talk about what they face this week, and that is preparation to try to beat the rival Packers on Saturday night at home. Ben Johnson, to me, looked tired. Both he and Caleb Williams did not seem to have a lot of time for shenanigans today. You definitely got the impression that those two guys in particular are dialed in.
Well, you usually, at least for the last 2 months, whatever you see from Ben, you then get from Caleb.
Right.
Which I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good sign. You didn't see him parroting Matt Eberflus, and that was also a good sign, probably. Right. But you've definitely seen Ben just go all business, even more so than usual, going back to Sunday night after that really dud of a game against the Lions, and Caleb has followed suit. One of the things I liked that Caleb Williams talked about on Tuesday was that this is not the end goal. It's just to get into a playoff game, home game against the Packers, and have a chance, and oh, then, you know, this is great. This is the accomplishment. This is a step on the way to accomplishments. And I think there's just been, I think anybody who competes in professional sports would tell you something like, oh yeah, we go for the championship, you know, that's the real goal, nothing else matters. But there, you know, and I know, there's been a lot of celebrating minor achievements around Hallis Hall. If you think back to 2020, when they kind of backed their way into the playoffs at 8-8, that was treated by management as this great success.
Remember,
the standards are much higher now.
Remember, they kept Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy because they did a really good job of making sure everybody got their COVID tests done in time. But you know what, Jason? Winning a playoff game around here is an accomplishment. And
winning one.
And I know it shouldn't be, but it is. Trivia question for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Since the 1985 Super Bowl, how many years have the Bears won multiple playoff games?
Multiple? Two?
One.
Two times?
One. That's one. The other Super Bowl year. That's the list.
Oh, the year they made the NFC Championship game. Did they have a first round bye?
They had a first round bye, yeah. So they were one and done in 2020, 2018, 2005, 2001, 91, 86, and 87. You know, we can laugh about making the playoffs being something that's not done around here, but being successful in them really has not been done around here in, you know, with rare exception. Caleb likes to say that he's built for these things, and Ben likes to say that Caleb is built for these things. Is that just something you say, or do you believe it?
Well, I think, I mean, it depends what you mean by that. I think in some ways, Caleb is not yet built for the playoffs. When you think about somebody being built for the playoffs, it's that they have mastery of their offense. They have mastery of the opponent's defensive scheme. They are decisive and reliable. And Caleb is still working on some of those things. Where I do feel like he is built and wired for situations like this is you never see Caleb Williams fold. You never see him shrink in a big moment. You never see the pressure. There's never been any indication whatsoever in games or even in the big picture coming to an organization like the Bears that the pressure gets to him.
I realized that Caleb Williams, when he was at Oklahoma, played against Oklahoma State and Texas. And when he was at SC, he played against UCLA and Notre Dame. In college, though, I mean, the two bowl games he played in at SC, Jason?
I know one of them.
The Cotton Bowl, in which they lost 46-45 to who?
The green wave, but he played great in that game. It was not on him.
It was 462 passing yards, I believe. Yeah. And then the following year, USC lost in the, or played in the Holiday Bowl, and Caleb sat out. So, you know, he said he's played in big games, big rivalries his whole life. He even said, well, shoot, even dating back to high school. But cynically, I think this is going to feel a little different,
yeah,
right?
Can we talk about this for a second? Because he does this all the time.
Right.
Throughout 2 years of being on the Bears, Caleb Williams keeps talking about NFL games, whether it's his debut, whether it's his first primetime game, whether it's playing the Packers, whether it's a playoff game now. He talks about everything like, yeah, it's no big deal. I played big games in college. They're not the same. Stop. Right? Am I right about this?
I mean,
you're such a big fan of both college and pro football.
Right.
Does that not bother you?
I mean,
and he keeps equating a game against UCLA to playing the Packers or some, or playing, you know, on Monday Night Football.
I think it's funny. The thing I really think that's hilarious about it is he will admit that he has been nervous once on a football field. Once. Do you know when that was?
It would have to be his NFL debut, or the first time playing on Sunday Night Football, or the first game at Lambeau. It's got to be something like that, right? It's got to be an enormous game.
2017, Caleb Williams, freshman at Gonzaga College Prep High School. He's getting ready to play Gilman. Gilman.
Never heard of it.
That's the game, and that's the list.
Well, that's the same, Pat. That's, you know, that's for...
That's just like Bears Packers.
Yeah, it's just like this game that people are paying $800 to go to on Saturday.
Also, I found in my research that his goal was also to go to Stanford.
I mean, he comes across as somebody who could do something like that.
Yeah, so I think, that, you know, and he said, you know, I'm cocky on the field. He was very clear to say on the field and not off it. But he's... Whether he actually believes it or not, the fact that he says it, I find it funny and a little charming. You're not charmed by that?
No, but it's not that big of a deal. I do think the bigger point here is that when he and Ben Johnson and we talk about him being quote-unquote built for moments like this, built for fourth quarter comebacks, what we're talking about is his mentality. That he has this never say die, never doubt himself approach. And it has never appeared like he has wilted under pressure. And I would expect that to be the same Saturday. There's a whole other side to it, though, Patrick, of how ready is he as a football player, as a quarterback. And it has been up and down. Both seasons for him. He's looked better this season. And he looked really, really good the three games before Detroit. He looked like this might be it. This might be him turning the corner. Three huge games production-wise against solid teams. The Packers, a very good Browns defense, and the 49ers. And you sit there and say, okay, he's ready to go toe-to-toe with whoever comes up, Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, whoever they might see in the playoffs. The Bears have their counterpoint to the opposing quarterback. Then you hit Sunday and nothing really looks right.
No.
I mean, he was at 66 yards late in the third quarter before he turned it on and rallied them to have a chance at the end. And while that's nice, and you can look at that, you know, glass half full, glass half empty, either way, you could say, well, you know, look, he turned it on when it mattered most. You can't keep doing that. That is not a sustainable formula. And if you've been paying attention every week, Ben Johnson's been telling you that.
Right. Yeah. He's been saying it, you know,
said it Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
Some version of
it. We've heard Cole Kmet a couple times the last few weeks reference that the last playoff team, it seemed like that there was some negative mojo around it because the head coach at the time kept saying this wasn't good enough. Ben Johnson, in his own way, has been saying it's not good enough. Before I let this die, Jason, because, you know, I can't let things like this die, Caleb Williams' varsity debut against the Gilman School Greyhounds.
Oh, we're back to this?
Yeah. In Baltimore, Maryland, by the way, is Gilman School.
Okay.
6 for 11, 140 yards, 16 rushing yards. His passer rating was 139.2, which I don't know how they figure passer rating in high school.
I was going to ask what the formula
is. But to me, 6 for 11 for 140 is not worthy of that high a passer rating. Anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
I understand and I appreciate your fixation on this. I don't see the connection, though. I don't think...
It's the last time he was...
I don't think I don't think you can sit here and be like, if he goes 6 for 11 for 140 on Saturday, you can forget about it, mister.
Wouldn't it be funny if he wore a Gilman School jersey into the game next week?
What?
No, all right. Anyway, I think that what is... I'll tie this into the Bears. Caleb says he never gets nervous, but I think that there is a healthy nerves or a healthy bunch of nerves that everybody has, right? It'd be weird if it wasn't. And for whatever reason, the Bears didn't feel that sort of juice. I hate to use the word juice, but they didn't feel that sort of juice Sunday against the Lions. And we heard Jaquan Brisker talk about it Sunday, and we heard Caleb Williams talk about it again Tuesday, that you're playing this team that beat you by 31 the last time you saw him. You're playing a team that employed Ben Johnson, whose fans booed your coach mercilessly. I believe the chant at the end of the last Lions game was, bleep Ben Johnson, inside Ford Field. And you can't get worked up for that? I think that that's one of the most disconcerting parts about that game on Sunday, was that if the Bears were flat, and Caleb used the word flat today, if the Bears were flat in a pretty important game last week, what's going to happen this week? Is it possible that for everything we all know to be true, which is Bears-Packers in the playoffs, a pretty big damn deal, is it possible that the Bears can't meet the moment?
Well, they'll be fired up for that. I couldn't imagine they would come out flat Saturday.
I couldn't have imagined they'd come out flat last week.
Yeah, but this is different. I mean, okay. You know they're going to be ready to come out Saturday. But I think Ben Johnson stressed going into that game the importance of staying at the same level that they'd been at, intensity-wise, and... then they weren't. And it is the only time, I think, this year where you've seen them come out like that. Even the game against the Lions week two where they got blown out, I don't think your criticism would be that they came out flat in that game.
No, they just weren't good enough.
This was the first time where it just looked like, do they even really care about this game? And you know that Ben Johnson did, because he talked about it all week, and then he played everybody, and then he made his point afterwards about, we play football here. We don't sit starters here. And he was... he really teed off on the offense. I think of all the things that he has said, of all the things he has said in the last 3 days, we've talked to him 3 days in a row, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The one that keeps standing out to me is when he was asked about Sunday night, when he was asked about the offense, and you get raw, unfiltered Ben Johnson sometimes after those games. When he was asked about why did the offense play so poorly? And his answer was, I don't know. It was one of our simpler game plans. I feel like that was the harshest thing he has said to get their attention.
I think that... do you think they're over it? As we sit here on a Tuesday, I mean, the players had Monday off. The Bears were going to go through film quickly and then move on to the Packers. Do you think it's now just full speed ahead, or do you think that they're still picking some of what happens?
No. It helps that those two Green Bay games went the way they did, where the Bears lost the first one and were on the brink of losing the second one before this incredible flurry at the end. I think they know exactly what they're going to get. I think they know... I don't think there's any looking past things now.
The last time they played, I think, at home against the Packers, didn't they have 5 personal fouls? Something like that?
They had a few. I don't remember the exact number.
They had one on the opening kickoff. Austin Booker had 2, including one that knocked Jordan Love out. I think that there is a danger of revving the engine too hot.
I'd rather see that than the opposite.
Yeah, and they'd have to find some balance. What else grabbed you about Caleb Williams' demeanor today? I thought he seemed like I said, locked in, but maybe just a little more serious than he usually is.
Yeah, he was. And that's not to say he isn't, but I think just he was less talkative Tuesday. It was shorter answers, more to the point. Mm-hmm. Next question, let's do it. I've got stuff to do today. And I think that's good. He's grown up in a lot of ways, and over during this year with Ben Johnson, he would tell you that. I think he came in here more grown up and serious than people gave him credit for. There was a lot that we heard about Caleb Williams leading up to the draft that didn't turn out to be true about him at all.
Turned out to be BS.
It's not been our experience. I remember interviewing him last summer, and I made some passing reference to what the perception of him was leading up to the draft, and he interjected and goes, "You mean that I was an a-hole?" Like, he was very aware of that. He has not been an unserious person. He has not been someone with work ethic questions, with attitude problems, who is difficult to deal with for people in the building and people outside the building. It's not been any of that. It was never any of that. This guy has been a phenomenal person to cover for us, as far as just the way he talks to people, the way his accessibility. And I think he's an incredibly serious worker, incredibly serious about his career. And the proof of that is his willingness to take hard coaching from Ben Johnson, because as unpleasant as that has been, it's not speculation. Right. It has been unpleasant for Caleb Williams often in the year with Ben Johnson. We're coming up on a year, a full calendar year of them working together. He has taken that because he knows it'll help him. He knows that's the path. That's the key to him becoming a good quarterback. And you've seen him grow up this year in the sense that he, with proper coaching, with proper mentorship from Ben Johnson, he has adopted a lot of what Ben Johnson is all about into his personality and his approach to the job.
We talked, in addition, I mentioned we talked to Komet, we talked to Montez Sweat, and we talked to Kevin Byard, three guys with different levels of playoff experience. I believe Sweat went 1 year when on a 7-9 Commanders team.
I think
something
it was 2020.
Like
I think it was the year the Bears went.
Yeah, Komet went 2 on a season that ended 8-8 and then lost in the playoffs. And Kevin Byard had been part of a number one seed that's been upset and had been part of a low seed that did well in Tennessee. I believe the low seed that did well was the one that ended Matt Nagy's assistant coaching career in Kansas City before the Bears hired him. I think the Titans went to Kansas City and won in the first round. Different perspectives from all of those guys. My favorite line from the whole thing was Montez Sweat saying that usually this is the time of year where you're packing up your car. and remember, and I think it's a good reminder that no matter how well or poorly Saturday goes for the Bears, this is a step in the direction away from what they've been for almost two, you know, at least a decade.
It's totally different for us too, because there's usually this doom and gloom sense where you've known for a few weeks that they're not going to the playoffs, that the season's going to be over, that the players are kind of down, and we're at locker cleanout day at Hallis Hall, and then you get home and you turn on the TV and it's like other teams are going business as usual. The Rams or the Eagles or whoever, it's a normal game week because they're moving on. It was the reverse for me on Monday, where I was listening in, watching online Detroit's season-ending press conference, which, by the way, there was something really interesting in that. Detroit's season-ending press conference, so they're doing locker clean-out day, and Dan Campbell kind of can't believe it that it's already just over like that, because that hasn't been the case for them the last couple of years. Dallas, I was kind of monitoring what was going on there, same thing. And meanwhile, the Bears they just have a game this week. In fact, it's a short week, and so there's some pace to the week because the game's coming up. Quick aside about Detroit.
Yeah.
I finished last place in the division, I believe, at 9-8. And the Bears keep saying, they say this about every opponent, but they had been saying last week, and Caleb said it again Tuesday, even though that's not a playoff team, that's a really good team. It's actually true about Detroit. Mm-hmm. They've said that about some teams this year, like the Giants, where it wasn't true. It is true about the Lions. And I think it's important to take note that they're not going away. They're probably going to change offensive coordinator. I don't know what they'll do other than that. But that team is still really good. That team has been really well run for a while. This was their fourth consecutive winning season. Think about how the Bears' season-ending press conferences have gone over the last 7 to 10 years. And compare it with this. Dan Campbell was asked to grade himself for this season. What grade would he give himself? This is after his fourth consecutive winning season. Do you guys remember what a joke the Lions were? The Lions were the joke of jokes. They were more of a joke, more of a punchline than the Bears had been for the longest time.
For 80 years.
People have already forgotten it because they were a Super Bowl contender the last two seasons. After the fourth consecutive winning season, mm-hmm. Dan Campbell goes, quote, "I would give myself a freaking F for his grade." That's where the standards are there.
Right.
And that's not going to change. That team is not in your rearview mirror. They will still be coming for you next year. They will still be a major, major threat in the NFC next year.
I think you have to beat them once for them to be in your rearview mirror. You know, the Bears went 2-4 in their division.
Yeah, that doesn't sound
right. Yeah, they split with the Vikings and they split with the Packers. And what were the two? And they split with the Packers because they recovered an onside kick and they beat the Vikings because they returned a kickoff 53 yards. Boy, they're a minute of football time away from going winless in their division. So the Bears have not, like you said, if they're in the rearview mirror, it's only, what is it, objects appear closer than they really are, or aren't as close as they really are?
That one is much closer than it appears.
Yeah. Real quick before we go, a couple of Black Monday sort of items that are Bears adjacent that I want to touch on. Matt Eberflus fired by Jerry Jones on Tuesday. Jerry put out a statement saying essentially that I've known Matt for a long time and I like Matt, but this wasn't working. Not a terrible surprise, but I do have a level of sympathy for somebody whose best player got traded away 6 days before kickoff.
I was surprised he got that job.
Yep.
Matt Eberflus turning around and being a defensive coordinator candidate for the Falcons, Bengals, and Cowboys right after just a debacle in Chicago, and the defense really wasn't great during his three seasons, was pretty surprising. Him getting fired after 1 year is less surprising. It did hurt that they lost Micah Parsons, but it's just hard to imagine that he gets another chance at the coordinator level after, unless he's going to go back to college.
A year off is a great sanitizer. So my guess is he'll take a year off. And if he does, you can squint. I mean, here's the thing. When you get fired by a crazy person, you can justify it by saying this crazy person fired me. And I think Jerry Jones does qualify.
So if you get fired by like the Jets or Cowboys or Cardinals or Jaguars, or you can...
Yeah, you can sit there
sweep
and say
that aside and say,
look at the last,
not my fault.
You can say, look at the last 30 years. What's the problem? Me or them? Matt Nagy, he's on the list of people to interview in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Mike Borgonzi is the GM there, was an assistant GM in Kansas City. With Nagy, it would seem to make some sense. It'd be just like the Bears situation where he'd be walking into he walked into the second year of the number 2 overall pick. There he would be walking into the second year of the number 1 overall pick.
I hope he doesn't take that job.
Why?
The thought process that Ben Johnson had when he was waiting as an assistant in Detroit for the right head coaching job and saying every year they hire 8 to 10 new coaches, and how many of those guys have a legitimate chance to win right away, and how many of those guys make it past year 3 it's so low.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take a job that you aren't positive gives you a chance to be winning relatively quickly.
This is the last chance he has at it. I mean,
I don't think so.
I mean, no, I'm sorry. If he fails this time, he's never going to be anybody else.
That's why I wouldn't take this. I would sit in Kansas City if I was him.
Would you rather have the remnants of a Chiefs roster when Andy Reid leaves in 3 years?
I would, yes.
Okay.
And I would rather see, this is the great thing that Ben Johnson had in his favor, and it's the great thing that Matt Nagy has in his favor right now. You're in a good spot. Mm-hmm. You don't have to leave. Things aren't falling apart. Like, you're happy there. He has spent how many of the last 10 years there? I mean, he's been there. His family likes living there. He works with people that he's worked with for a long time.
His kid plays football at Kansas.
Yeah. There's no pressure on you to leave.
Right.
I would stay there until either A, the perfect job comes open, or B, they want you for the head coaching job there after Andy Reid. I really hope Matt Nagy doesn't take a sucker job like the Titans.
Being a guy who follows the guy is always tough, though, isn't it? Like,
yeah, but he's been there. He gets to stay there. I mean, you know that would be probably his dream job.
Probably. And finally, Ian Cunningham, probably not a familiar name to a lot of Bears fans, but he's the assistant GM here. Ryan Poles created the position when he got here 4 years ago and brought in Ian, with whom he is friendly. I mean, was friendly, and now I think they're very close. The Falcons want to talk to them about their vacant GM job. The word is that Matt Ryan might end up overseeing their entire football operation, which seems odd to me. Mm-hmm. Kind of shades of, I guess, of John Elway in Denver, which worked. And that if he hired a GM, Cunningham could make sense for a lot of reasons. One of them being that one of Ryan Poles' other great friends in the world is Matt Ryan.
Is college teammates.
Is they connect through Ryan. It would be a promotion for Ian. And it also would be this, Jason. It'd be 2 third-round draft picks for the Chicago Bears. And that's no small thing. The NFL has a program where if you lose a minority executive or assistant who leaves to become the head coach or GM at another place, that you get compensation. So that would be beneficial to the Bears. I do wonder, I mean, I think a GM title would do it, but I do wonder if Matt Ryan is, you know, president of football ops, you know, do they still, you know, could the league say, well, he's not in charge, but I don't know. It's my understanding that the Bears would get those picks.
As far as Ian Cunningham taking that job, I mean, if he was to get offered it, and by the way, he did get offered the Cardinals job a few years back. He interviewed for the Jaguars. Are there other teams?
Can we talk about last year real quick?
Been in the mix with? Yeah, go ahead.
He was a finalist last year for that Titans job that went to Mike Borgonzi. While he was interviewing with them, he was not allowed to be part of the Bears coaching search. So he sat that out. He doesn't get the job. He jumps back into the Bears coaching search just as Ben Johnson gets the job. Then when the Jaguars thing went sideways and they wound up sneaking Liam Cohen out of the Buccaneers facility in the cover of night, and Liam finally says, I'm not taking this job unless you fire your GM. That's mid-February. So the Jags open up their job, and Ian applies for it, and Ian's the finalist there while he's supposed to be doing free agent film watching here. He doesn't get that job. He comes back. He talked to us in April and said, like, it was bizarre. He got his feelings hurt because he really wanted both of those jobs. It didn't work. So it seems like this might be the right time for him to go.
I don't take a job as a coach or a GM if I am not extremely confident in the quarterback situation, either in what they've already got or what I have the power to bring in. So if Ian Cunningham doesn't love Michael Penix, I think Michael Penix is probably their quarterback for a while here. Because you're not going to be you're not drafting high this year.
You're not drafting in the first round this year because you traded that pick to the Rams last year.
You got a lot of issues here where I don't think you want to take a job like the one Ryan Poles took, for example, even though it worked out here, where your first year or two is going to be a waste.
And there's an alternate universe where he would have been swept out last year too. I mean, he was, I don't want to say fortunate to stick around, but there are owners that would have said, while we're at it, let's fire the GM too.
If you're a GM or a coach, what are you getting, like 3 seasons to show something? And if I tell you the first 1 to 2 seasons of it are going to be a complete burndown, mm-hmm. and you're going to have no shot, that shrinks your margin to nothing, where you better really show results in year three. That is not a great situation to walk into if you are Ian Cunningham or Matt Nagy, two of the guys we've just been talking about, and you like where you're at plenty good enough.
Can I give you a counterpoint to that?
Sure.
Cliff Kingsbury fired today by the Commanders. Last year at this time, Cliff Kingsbury probably could have written his ticket to a number of places as a head coach, He chose not to interview with the Bears because he was focused on the playoffs, in which they beat Ben Johnson's Lions. But, you know, things move fast in this league. One year you're a sexy candidate, and the next you're getting fired. You know, I wonder if you're Nagy or Ian Cunningham, if you sit there and go, I don't know for sure that I will be in this position next year or the year after.
Very good point. I think Nagy has more staying power. He's got more of a more credibility in a resume than Ian does. So Ian may need to jump at a pretty good job or a decent job. Never take the Jets job. Never take the Cardinals job. But he may. You may be right about Ian Cunningham. I think Matt Nagy, you know, even if he found his way out, even if he got fired at some point in Kansas City, I think he's still got some pretty good name recognition.
Let me tell you, it is freaking delightful to not have to worry about that.
Not our problem.
Not our problem this year. Jason will be back later in the week to preview the Packers game specifically. Until then, you can follow Jason and I on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website, on their app, and if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.